Father, as we talk about or we look at what it means to be a disciple, would you help us to understand it? Would you help us to understand it better? That this is something you've called us to. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts as we look at what Scripture says, as we process what it means to be a disciple, that you would reveal to us areas that we need to change, areas we need to operate differently. And that, I realize as I say that, that's what I want. I also pray, God, that your will be done. That whatever you want to have happen in here this morning, we pray for that. God, I want your will done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in a series of called Disciple, and not discipleship, but Disciple, because we're going to look at the who, what, when, where, and how of Disciple. We talked at one point about who a disciple is, and the fact that we need maybe to make sure that we understand that every one of us, if we've accepted Christ into our life, every one of us is a disciple. That's what he called us to, is to be a disciple. We like to put titles on it like, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I would say that it's possible that the word Christian has come to mean something other than what it really means. Christian should be just another word for disciple. Unfortunately, oftentimes, we've made like different, a scale system. You know, like, oh, there's Christians and then there's disciples. There's those ones that, you know, those are the really committed ones. You realize if you say that, what you're saying is, I'm a Christian, but those are disciples, those are the really committed ones. What you're really saying is well, you know, I'm just not a very committed to Jesus person. How does that sound, right? I mean, I want all the benefit without any sacrifice. But that's not what Jesus has called us to. When he called us, when we felt that calling to him or toward him, what he was calling us to is to follow him. Come, follow me. Be my disciple. And so who of disciple is every one of us is a disciple. Every one of us is supposed to be. That's what he called us to. So then we moved from the who to the what. What is a disciple? And it's one of those things where, you know, it's we kind of know it in our head what a disciple is, but to put it into words what a disciple is not as easy. You know, we could kind of maybe fumble around with it. So I worked on coming up with a list for you. Anytime you create a list, realize that you have the opportunity of leaving something out, and it's not always cut and dry. It would be great if life was just easy to draw a line around it, you know, create a box and say, this is what it is. And it doesn't work that way, and so it's an effort for us to help us understand something, okay? As we look at the list, you may think, well, those two are the same thing. There's just a little bit of difference. That's why in the two. That's why I added it. Now you could say, well, you can condense this list down. Sure, you could, or you could make it even bigger. You could make the list the 356 ways of describing what a disciple is. That wouldn't be very helpful either. So we go back down to the core and we try to put a little bit of flesh on the bones of what a disciple is. Okay, so that's what we've been talking about. But last week after I got done preaching, I went home and I felt like, oh, man, I feel like I'm being kind of negative. I talked about a passage in Scripture where we're told that God's will for us is that we rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And at that rejoicing always piece of it, what I said was, if you were the only disciple that somebody saw, that you're the only disciple that somebody ever encountered, what would they think Jesus is like? Because it seems like the longer we are Christians, the grumpier we get. The longer we are Christians, the more uptight we are. Is that what Jesus looks like? See, if it's not what Jesus looks like, wait, let me back up. There are few exceptions to that, I think, but there are a few. But as a whole, have you encountered a lot of Christians that have been Christians for a long time who rejoice always? Boy, that sounds so negative, because what I'm doing is pointing my finger at every one of you and saying, hey, you're not very rejoiceful. And so I went home last week and I'm like, man, I don't want to come across as being critical, pointing my finger at you and saying, you need to change. What I'm thinking is I'm looking at my own life and going, come on, Darren. I can be a better example. I need to be a better example. I see how I'm not doing as well as I should do. And if I'm struggling with it, then I assume there's some other people struggling with it too. And so just recognize, as we talk about this, it isn't so that I can say to you, you've got problems. What I want us to do is just recognize that there is a problem so that we can face it. I don't mean for us as Christians that we need to have the fake smile on our face and be happy all the time. But what I do mean is, if His will for our lives is that we rejoice always, there is something at the very core of us that our circumstances are not defeating us. Our circumstances aren't controlling our behavior, our outlook on life. That Jesus is. If we can come face to face with the problem, we can realize that we have a problem, and we can turn to Jesus and have Him help us with it. So my desire is that we together can grow closer to what we're supposed to be like. That we actually have a discipling relationship with Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could say with confidence that we are a church filled with disciples of Jesus? I think a miracle would be that if each one of us began to actually take on the role of a disciple. If each one of us took on the role of a disciple, I think that would be a miracle. What would that look like? So that's kind of what we've been studying. What would it look like if each one of us took on the role of a disciple? Well, we said, first week we said, a disciple is growing in their awareness of Jesus' presence, that He's a work around us constantly. Do we see it? Do we recognize it? Or do we just kind of, let life come at us and we take the good with the bad? Or do we recognize that Jesus is around us, with us, working constantly? We say, as Christians, we invited Him into our heart. He's not out there, He's right here. Are we aware of Him? At any point in time in your day, can you say, man, Jesus, like you're having a conversation with Him, that He's right there. So we, as disciples, are growing in our awareness of Him. As a disciple, we should be growing in our conversation with Him. Understand that the way Jesus discipled is that He asked questions. He asked His disciples questions. And one of those questions we covered was that He asked them, do you understand what I've done for you? And His disciples, after He just washed their feet, His disciples didn't answer Him. Were they thinking, is this a trick question or something? You just washed our feet. And so Jesus went on to explain what He did. The dialogue, the conversation is that we can actually have a back and forth between Jesus. Man, Jesus, I noticed this. What were you trying to say? See, the way He discipled His disciples is that He actually told them what it meant. He actually explained to them what He had just done. So we should be growing in our dialogue, our conversation with Him. Okay? Last week, I kind of covered it just a moment ago, that the 2 Thessalonians 5, growing in joy, growing in prayer, growing in thankfulness. We rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will for you. That means we should be growing in this area. That we should be growing in joy. We should be growing in prayer. That we would be praying continually. That there's this ongoing conversation between God and us. Not just the conversation. That number two was is that our conversation grows deeper. This one is that our conversation grows more frequent. Growing in thankfulness. We are so good at thinking about what we don't have rather than what we do have. And then growing in faith. That if we are going to grow in faith, it will take steps of faith. It will take us stepping out of our comfort zone to see that God does work, that God knows what He's doing. And so today we're going to add to our list, and we're going to finish out the what. Once again, we could add more to the list. I just don't think we need to have a huge list of what a disciple is. If you get these down, I believe that we're headed in the right direction, okay? So as we move forward, once again, my question is this. Do you want to be a disciple? It's what you said yes to. But as we look at what it means to be a disciple, I mean, do you really want to be? I'm not trying to convince you to not be a disciple. What I'm hoping for us to come to the conclusion is, then I need to get moving. I mean, if I want to be a disciple, then I need to get going here. See, Jesus actually expects us to say His words and to do His deeds. Okay? Jesus actually expects us to say what He says and to do what He does. That's His expectation. That's what a disciple does. So as we look at the rest of this list today, I'm going to borrow an illustration that some of us were here 2 years ago, two Mays ago, and we had a guest speaker come in. His name was Pastor Perkins, and he gave us an illustration. And Renee, you came up on stage and were part of the illustration. Hopefully you remember it because it was embarrassing. But maybe you've blocked it out of your memory, tried to block it out here. But what the picture is we've been given is this, a picture of what kind of goes on in our heart. And let me throw in heart, or let me use the word soul. This inside of us that makes us so unique from anybody else and every other creature. And it's kind of like, the picture we'll use today is it's kind of like King Arthur and the Round Table. Now, that looks so much, I'm sure, like King Arthur and his Round Table does, having some tea but the interesting thing about the Round Table is that the reason he had the Round Table is there's no head at the Round Table. Okay? Because everybody has an equal voice. And so inside of us operates somewhat of a round table, okay? King Arthur would meet with his knights. He would call a session, and they would sit down, and they would begin to discuss what was going on in the kingdom. And every time, it would be they would go around and give input, give opportunity for their insight. They were his advisors. And within us, a very similar thing works. And we may never think of it this way, but it kind of plays out. And if you can kind of imagine it, hopefully you'll begin to see that how it works, okay? So the king at this setting is Will. Okay? Now that's his name, but not really. That's his function. Will is our ability to choose. Okay? He's the one in charge. The way we work in life is nothing happens until we've decided it to happen. God has given us free will. God has given us choice. He operates through that choice. And we might want to you know, we might want to say that, well, I'm just not going to decide. Well, that's not actually the way that you've just decided, okay? In life, when you decide not to decide, you've decided, okay? Not deciding is deciding. You know, we would maybe like sometimes to not have the choice. In fact, Christians, have you ever said something like this? Oh, Lord, would you just take that temptation away from me? Lord, would you just take this opportunity to decide and remove it from me? Just decide for me. Oh, and Jesus, he's like, yes, that's what I've been waiting for. No, not at all. Jesus will not do for us what he expects us to do for ourselves. He doesn't rip the choice away from us. He expects us to choose. And so Will is king at the table. And he has the advisors around him. Now, as we go through these advisors, let me tell you this. That these advisors, they're God-given advisors. Okay? Will didn't sit there and go, well, I choose this person and this person and this person and this person to sit at my table. These are the God-given advisors that we have from him. And when we accept Christ, Jesus comes in and he sits at the table. And we'll talk about where he's at in a moment, okay? But I just want you to recognize, Jesus comes in and he doesn't take away the crown from Will. Will is now little King Will because there's a greater king. We don't crown him king. Jesus is king. He's already been crowned king. And he was crowned king by God the Father. So Jesus doesn't need to move in and try to take our crown away. He is king. So in this picture of our soul, we have Will sitting at the table, and next to Will is mind. Okay? So right in that, his advisor is mind, or we could put thoughts. One of those two, okay? Mind or thoughts. Now, thoughts, let me tell you a little bit about him. Thoughts, mind, whatever. He talks all the time. He's constantly talking. I've shared this with you before, so it's safe to share it again. When I meet new people, sometimes I really struggle to remember their names, right? Because I'm thinking about what I'm going to say rather than about what they just said. And so my mind is just talking, talking, talking. And I'm like, And then I go, I have no idea what their name is because I wasn't paying attention to what they said. I was thinking of a clever response like, oh, my name's Darren. So mind is talking all the time. He thinks constantly expressing what it's thinking. And we listen to him a lot. Will listens to mind an awful lot because what we say, and some of us say it more than others, is I think. Well, I think. Now, this in my life, in my soul, mind talks a lot, and I listen to him a lot. Now, I'm a guy, so he usually just says one thing over and over and over again, whatever it might be at the time, like, you know. And, you know, then it finally moves to the next thought. Now, ladies, I think you have, like, your mind is like talking several different things at the same time. I don't understand how that all works, but I know for me, my mind is talking all the time, and he's just saying the same thing over again, okay? We're always going to have him. Mind is always going to be there. The advisor mind is always there. And he's always talking. Now, as we get older, he might mumble a little bit more. We might not be able to decipher. Sometimes he chooses words and puts them in weird orders. But it's still talking. We are still thinking. It's still going on. He's very persistent. He's not always right. Whoa, wait a minute. He's not always right. God-given advisor, but sometimes our thoughts are still in the dark. Sometimes our thoughts still haven't had the light of truth shown on them. So think about this advisor. Always talking, very persistent, and not always right. That's a recipe for disaster. We need a good plan. Okay? Now, if you're sitting there going, I don't struggle with that, then you're listening to that thought, and here's what you're supposed to do with that thought. Take it captive. Whoa, wait a minute. Will, you're king, remember? Your job. Wait a minute, stop. You take that thought and you say, Jesus, what do you think? Jesus, what do you think about what I was thinking about? And you stop and you listen. Some of us might go, yeah, what am I going to hear, right? Well, where do we go to listen? How do we listen? What do you guys think? Think. Where would you listen? How? God's Word? That's the best one, I think. Anything else? Prayer? Okay. Other Christians? Those are good. I said even, Scripture talks about the way God, in Romans 1, where God has been revealing Himself since the creation of time. There's something about nature that God speaks, that He's revealing Himself this way as well. Now, that's no excuse. Hunters, that doesn't mean, yeah, well, my church is when I'm out in the woods, okay? That's not what I'm saying. We still need each other, all right? If we're going to listen, if we're going to stop, we can think, guys, we can think about this. We can actually think about what we think about. Okay, what are you thinking about right now? You just thought about what you're thinking about. See, you're capable of it. You can capture a thought and go, whoa, wait a minute. Huh. And we train ourselves to say, okay, Jesus, what do you say? Now there's a step of faith here. Because we're actually trusting that Jesus is going to tell us what He thinks. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do you hear how this plays out? We take it to Him and we listen for what the truth is. There are times that He's going to say, that's right on. But there are other times that He's going to say, that's actually not what I think. Our minds are pretty talented. As we grow in this, as we work at this, what we're going to find out is, what we're going to discover is, our mind begins to figure out the way Jesus thinks. If we start asking Him what He thinks, you're going to start figuring out the way He thinks. Sabrina and I have been married 10 years, and I've made a tiny bit of progress. She doesn't think so, but I do. I have. I've made a tiny bit of progress to figure out the way she thinks. Okay? I'm going to take that thought to Jesus and see what He says. All right. Sorry. She didn't know I was going to say anything, so. So Jesus wants us to take every thought captive. Bring it to Him and ask Him what He thinks. So we continue to move around the table. The next one is we got emotions. Now some of us, we say, I think a lot. Some of us say, I feel a lot. Often. We say, I feel often. And just because you say, I think a lot, doesn't mean you'll never say, I feel. All right? It just means you lean towards that advisor more than others. Now, the funny thing is about emotion is emotion is very closely tied to our thought. These advisors are almost like they're married, okay? And what happens is thought. He talks all the time, but he doesn't always tell you what he's thinking. But he'll tell emotion what he's thinking. And when he tells emotion what he's thinking, emotion gets worked up. You ever been uptight about something and upset about something or emotional about something and you're like, I have no idea why I'm so upset. I have no idea why I'm so emotional. At that moment, those are those times where we're supposed to say, whoa, wait a minute. And we say, okay, mind, what did you just tell emotion? I used this example on Wednesday. Here it is. Wednesday, I was driving the bus for the kids, and I started it up, and the air pressure was building up, and I looked at it, and it was sitting like, you know, like this. It looked like a 70s muscle car. Not what you really want. And so I was kind of looking closer, and it looked like, well, the front suspension isn't, the airbags aren't full. And so then I started thinking, right? You know, some of the bumps on the road, and I don't want to have that thing smash clear down and do any damage. And I started thinking about the kids and worrying about their safety. And all of a sudden, I am like uptight. And here's a weird thing what happens. Oftentimes when we care about something, when we love something, and it becomes risky, do we just ooze with, oh, I'm so worried about you? Or do we get angry? Man, I was on edge. Kids are getting on the bus, and I'm like, quiet down! Well, maybe not quite that bad, but, you know, be quiet and sit down! No, but I caught myself, like, just like, I was on pins and needles. How often do we get, we worried about somebody or care about somebody, and it comes out as anger? We're not stopping and talking about, we're not talking to thought and saying, what are you telling emotion? All we're doing is we're listening to emotion and we're going, man, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. I'm making my decisions based on it. So instead, we go, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I'll tell you what happened. I can't say that I was victorious, but I made progress because I knew I was what I was preaching on. And I sat down and I'm driving into town and I'm thinking, okay, relax. This is why I'm feeling really crabby right now. Jesus, what do you say? And I had to stop and I had to listen. And I felt like he just said, I got it. So I had to let go. Okay? I wish I did that every time, but I don't. Okay? So we stop that cycle. Emotion's not bad. It's an advisor. We're always going to have emotions. Question is, what are we going to do with them? When we get better at this, we start leaning on His promises. We start trusting Him. Our emotions come around. Our emotions aren't dumb either. Mind figures out, oh, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We continue around the table, we get to desires. Now, desires, I think, maybe controls us even more than anything else. We have tons of desires. Sometimes they're good desires, sometimes they're not good desires. We say things like, I want. Now, just for fun, whoever your closest friend is, here's what I want you to do. When you hear them say, I feel, I think, or I want, you say, oh, wait a minute. Is that what Jesus is talking to you about? That might be too risky, huh? Okay, let's just do this. In your mind, when you hear them say, I want, I feel, I think, just let that trigger this thought in your mind. Oh, the little advisor is speaking. They're listening to that advisor. You don't have to decide whether they're right or wrong. But what I want us to do, what I hope we do, is when we find ourselves saying those words, we catch ourselves and we stop and we say, wait a minute. Did I take this to Jesus? I mean, did I actually ask him what he wants, what he thinks? See, because a lot of times what happens is when I pray for what I want. Forget that, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Darren's will be done on earth, period. Has it ever occurred to you that your desires aren't God's desires? And that we begin to get into some shaky ground here. Because what do? When we want something opposite of what God wants, what's will going to do? See, there's a little thought that finds its way out when our desire isn't what God's desire is. That little thought says something like, well, I know what's best. Or if I go with his desire, then I'm not going to get what I want. Or if I choose his plan, I'm out of control. Control is an illusion. His plan is best. He has your best in mind. It might not be comfortable. It might not always be smooth sailing. But it is what's best for you. What he desires is best. If we can get our mind around that, this becomes an interesting conversation in our soul. Have you ever asked yourself, why did I just do that? Why did I do that? These are actions taken where our desires drove the process. We turn around and we're like, what just happened here? We were on autopilot and desire was the only one that Will was listening to. If we are to make better decisions, we should focus on having healthy desires. To have healthy desires, we need to learn to have God's desires. Psalm 37:4 says this, take delight in the Lord. That's the most important part of this verse. We like the second half of it, but the most important part of the verse is take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now we really just want to hear that second part, right? And he'll give you the desires of your heart. What do I've got to do to get the desires of my heart fulfilled? Delight yourself in the Lord. Oh. Is that what I got to do? Yeah. Absolutely. So with that picture in mind, let's talk about what a disciple and the rest of what a disciple is doing. Disciples grow in bringing every thought captive, making them obedient to Christ. We are capable of it. He actually expects it. Second Corinthians 10, 3-5 says this, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Verse 5 right there is, for me, that's what's going on in this round table. That we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Well, wait a minute. Jesus, what do you say? What do you think? Number two, disciples develop selfless, Christ-like attitude. Philippians 2, 3 through 8 says this. And I'll be honest, Philippians 2, 3 through 8 could fit for more than just this one. But do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have the same desires as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. If you had his qualities, would you use it to your advantage? You ever thought, man, if I was God, things would be different? All my prayer requests would be yes. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Selfless, Christ-like attitude. A disciple grows in godly desires. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought." That sound like that roundtable conversation? "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you." That's a good promise. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Disciples seek him. Romans 8:5 says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires." There's that word desires, right? "But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by Spirit is life and peace. His desires are life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If he's sitting at your table, you are to be focused on his desire. It's possible. It's possible for us to take every thought captive. It's possible for us to have the same mindset, same attitude as Christ Jesus. It is possible for us to have our desires what God desires. It's just not inevitable. It doesn't just happen by accident. A disciple pursues him. He works at it. Are you willing? It will be work, but it works. Are you willing? So we must conclude that when we follow the Holy Spirit, when we delight in the Lord, when we seek him with everything in us, when we allow Jesus to direct our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, he will give us what we really, really, really want. our part, God doesn't remove the decision from us. Our part is to find out what Jesus thinks, what he feels, what he wants, and decide for his way. That's what a disciple does. So, the question is, do you want to be a disciple? Would you bow your heads with me? When it comes down to Judgment Day, I don't know how God's going to deal with some of us. But I'm not the judge, so I don't have to worry about that. What I do know is to answer Jesus' call, is to say yes to being a disciple. It's possible that there's somebody here today that's never answered that call. Maybe there's someone here today that answered a call to accept Christ but didn't realize it was greater than that. It was greater than just having him sit at the table, but it actually meant to figure out what he wants and what he's telling us. That it means not just to receive him, but to follow after him. If you want to, I encourage you to pray along a prayer similar to mine. Lord Jesus, I confess I am not a good king. But I listen to the other parts of me more than I listen to you. I want you to come in anew. I want you to be Lord. I want you to tell me what you're thinking. I want to know your heart. I want you to disciple me. Sorry for the times that I've chosen me instead of you. Would you forgive me? Would you help me to be a disciple? I pray this in Jesus' name.